the creator, can you read the meeting logistics?
On March 17, 2020, Governor Newsom issued Executive Order 10-2920 related to the COVID-19 pandemic. The executive order allows state bodies covered by the Brown Act to hold public meetings via teleconferencing. The public is encouraged to participate in the meeting telephonically by dialing the conference line listed above and may submit written comments for prior consideration to the board members. Comments can be submitted to vmendoza@cvsouth2.org. Public comments on the day of the meeting can also be given during the public comment section of the meeting agenda. Please see, a reasonable accommodation will be provided for any individual with a disability. Reminder, as required by state law, SB 126, this meeting will be audio recorded and posted on the charter school's website.
Thank you, Nakrina. And now I will call the meeting to order of the President of South 2 on August 27, 2020 at 1 p.m. And now let's have the members of the board roll call and establish of the quorum. I'll call for Nakrina to ask for the vote and the roll call.
Roll call. Charles Kanagata.
Here.
Julius Kaichin.
Here.
Jacqueline Giacomazzi.
Here.
Arthur Rennie.
Here.
The roll call has been completed, and all four members of the board are here. We now proceed with the Pledge of Allegiance. Jackie, could you give us the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
Ready, salute. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
Okay.
And to the Republic for which it stands, one under God.
Under God.
With liberty, that's it for
all. Okay, next we're going to go ahead with the staff introductions. And at this time, members on the teleconference will be invited to introduce themselves and state their name and title. Let's go to corporate officers first. Corporate officers first.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is Jeff Brown, Chief Executive Officer.
Jerry Vinson, Corporate Officer, thank you.
Is that it for corporate officers?
Yes.
Now the staff, yeah.
Shelley Haynes, Area Superintendent.
Rafael Aguilar, Principal of Madera.
Gagandeep Gill, Principal, Russia.
Jeff Martineau, Vice President, Charter Relations.
Is that after that? Okay. Let's go on to the School Legal Counsel.
Yes, Bill Thompson, attorney for the school.
And next, the advisors who are supporting agenda items are presenting.
Hi, this is Geeta Sharifi. I'm the Chief Financial Officer with LLAC.
Hi, this is Michelle Lopez, Counsel with LLAC.
Any other advisors who are supporting the agenda items or presenting? Hearing none, other staff who wish to introduce themselves? I guess we're complete then. Okay. Yep. We'll approve the agenda for the August 27, 2020 regular post meeting of the Board of Directors. And now I need a motion for approval.
I move we approve the agenda for the August 27th meeting.
Okay, now the Nakrina will take over for the roll call and vote.
Charles Kanagata? Yes.
Here.
Charles Kanagata?
Yes.
Julie Kaichis?
Are we voting?
Yes.
Well, Julie Kaichis? Kathy Giacomazzi?
Aye.
Arthur Rennie?
Aye.
So the vote was unanimous to approve the agenda for the August 27th meeting. Next, we will approve the minutes of the Crescent View South Incorporated for June 11, 2020. Nakrina?
We have to get a motion.
Okay.
May I just interrupt for a second? This is, I don't know if this is noteworthy or not, but I just thought I'd bring it up on page 7, under 4, for reports and information, second paragraph. My name is spelled wrong. So I don't know if you want that corrected or if it matters at all. Tell me.
We will make that correction, and you can go ahead and approve the minutes.
We're fine. Okay, next, the consent agenda. All items listed on the consent.
Mr. President.
We didn't vote.
Oh, we didn't vote. Go ahead.
I make a motion to approve the minutes of the June 11th, 2020 regular meeting. Are ready.
Julie Price, 2 seconds.
All those in favor. Katrina?
Charles Sanagata?
Yes.
Julie Kaitu?
Aye.
Jacqueline Giacomazzi?
Aye.
Arthur Rennie?
Aye.
The minutes have been approved by a full set of the board.
Is Chuck a voting member now?
Who, Chuck Sanagata?
Yeah, are you voting?
I've always been a voting member. I've always voted. I just don't make motions or, you know, but. All right, consent agenda. All items listed under the consent agenda are considered by the board to be routine and consistent with approved policies and practices of the charter schools. The board will be asked to approve all of the consent agenda items by a single vote unless requested by a board member to be discussed and considered for action separately. The first item of the consent agenda is the board will be asked to approve the revised homeless children and youth policy. Hear any comments? Hearing no comments, I'd like to ask for a motion to approve.
Julie Kaitis, I so move.
Wait, I need a motion. Okay, there we go. Okay. Nakrina, could you please call the roll?
I'm sorry, who's second?
Jackie.
Okay. Roll, Charles Sanagata?
Yes.
Julie Kaitis?
Aye.
Jackie Giacomazzi?
Aye.
Arthur Rennie?
Aye.
The motion to approve the revised homeless children and youth policy has been approved by unanimous vote of the board. Next, the board will be asked to approve the revised school policy on suicide prevention. Do I hear any discussion? Hearing none, I request a motion to approve.
Jackie seconds the motion.
I now request a motion to approve. Oh, wait, you made that. Okay. All those in favor. I'm sorry.
Charles Sanagata.
Aye.
Julie Kaitis.
Aye.
Jackie Giacomazzi.
Aye.
Arthur Rennie.
Aye.
The motion has been approved unanimously by the board. Okay, next we have public comment. Nakrina?
At this time, members of the public may address the board on any item within the subject matter jurisdiction of the board, whether or not the item is on the agenda. If you would like to participate in public comment, you must have signed in before the commencement of the meeting. Also, our teleconference line is open to members of the public who wish to participate in public comment. The time allotted per presentation will not exceed 3 minutes, except in the case where a member of the public utilizes a translator.
in which case the time allotted will not exceed 6 minutes. The total time allotted for public comments will not exceed 18 minutes per agenda item, or 10 minutes for non-agenda items. In accordance with the Brown Act, no action may occur at this time, but it is the board's prerogative to hold a brief discussion, provide information to the public, provide direction to staff, or schedule the matter for a future meeting.
Before I ask if there's public wishes, anyone from the public wishes to speak, I want to let you know that the time that we're starting this is at 3:15. And so if anyone wants to speak, now is the time to do it, and you know the time to speak.
Our LCAP and our plan
plan to return. The Learning Continuity Plan replaces the LCAP for the 2021 school year. The Learning Continuity Plan adoption timeline of September 30th is intended to ensure the LCP is completed in the beginning of the 2021 school year. And then additionally, the timeline is intended to allow for communication of decisions that will guide how instruction will occur within this next school year. So that's kind of the rationale for the LCP, for Learning Continuity Plan. Second is it does require stakeholder involvement. And CV South held a meeting on August 12th where 18 parents were in attendance and provided their feedback, which I'll share a little bit later in this. It requires description of in-person instructional offerings. Again, I'll share what that looks like in a few minutes. A description of our distance learning program and offering. A pupil learning loss and our plan to address that learning loss. How we plan to address social and emotional needs of our students and our staff during this remote learning time. How we engage our families during this time. Student nutritional needs, how those are being met. And any additional services for homeless or foster youth, English learners, and then special education, and I'll share some more specifics down the road. You know, I think it would be helpful if everybody put their phone on mute unless they specifically had a question, and then they can unmute themselves. Should we everybody do that? Because we're getting a lot of feedback. Thank you. Feel free to unmute and interrupt anytime if you have questions or feedback. Thanks. So most of the information that I'm going to share, I've shared over the last few board meetings, but now it's consolidated into one learning continuity plan that we can share in public. So let's see. First, we've heavily invested in new technology for our students and staff to be able to teach and learn in a remote or even a revolving environment, which we've seen since March. Sometimes we've been allowed to come to campus, and sometimes we've had to work remotely. We've purchased Chromebooks and Wi-Fi routers for all of our students that need access to technology and to access the content and the instruction piece. As I've shared in the last few meetings, getting access to those hotspots has been really difficult because everybody in the world is also looking for hotspots. But I'm happy to share with the board that we have started receiving them this week. I personally laid my eyes on a pallet of hotspots. So those take a couple of days to activate once they're on our site, and our warehouse team is working on that, and they will be delivered to site. Actually, that's probably happening while we speak. We will have them in the hands of students in just a couple of days, likely by the end of this week, which actually by tomorrow. Yes.
Excuse me, I'm still getting feedback. Is everybody on mute?
Yes, I am.
Thanks, Julie. I think, did that fix it?
Yes, thank you, Shelley.
Okay. Sure thing. So once the hotspot devices arrive on our site, again, it's just a quick activation and then in students' hands, and they should be ready for remote learning. We've also heavily invested in professional development for our staff because our staff is not accustomed to teaching remotely. They're accustomed to teaching our students in a one-on-one face-to-face environment. So this is definitely a learning curve for every stakeholder in CV South. We are supporting with trainings and professional learning communities through Solution Tree. And this was actually a commitment that we made prior to COVID, is that we would invest in professional learning communities. And then we will see that through the next few years. But specifically now we're fast-tracking that training so that our staff can share with one another successes and areas of struggle, and that we can all support each other for student improvement. We've also invested in technology support, both by our internal instructional specialist team, who are becoming experts in training our staff, and by Google. We've partnered with Google for Google Classroom training and Google Meet training. And that is so staff and students. We also have invested in some trauma training for our staff so that we can deal with the needs of staff and students that have been affected by COVID, negatively affected by COVID, either personally or through media or community, but also to support them in dramatic events that are happening in the world right now. An additional purchase we've made is on some online applications, and one specific one I'd like to share with you is Kami. It is an online application that is partnered with Google, and so that our students and staff can get access to content and curriculum. So specifically, Kami allows the teacher to send a student a document. The student can then open the document, they can annotate on it, type, sign, and they can just work through the document as if it was a piece of paper. It'll save, and then it will go right back to the teacher, so they can pass that document back and forth. There are many applications that student staff could use to do that same thing, but it was important to us to have a uniform application that we could all use and support one another in, so we weren't trying to learn 100 applications. So this has been very helpful for students and staff. We have additionally invested in continued training on NWEA and Illuminate Assessment Software, and those are two software programs that we've already started using before COVID in March, but we are now receiving training on how to utilize those two software or two assessment softwares in order to allow students to take those tests from home since we can't have them on the site. Those allow us to appropriately determine where a student should be placed and then what's appropriate for their specific needs. Specific to English learners and special education. And then to speak specifically to special education students and how we're addressing those needs, our special education teachers and service providers have additional responsibilities that include electronic documentation of student contact and the delivery of specialized academic instruction. We're still responsible for those minutes, and then related services to ensure FAPE. Our paraprofessionals will electronically document contact with their students, and then collaboration between special ed teachers, paraprofessional teachers will be continuing virtually as well. In addition, we've also been granted permission to have small groups or individual meetings with special education and English learner students so that we can perform assessments that would be required for their IEP or accurate program placement. Those are the highlights of our learning continuity plan, and I would love to hear feedback from our board members or any other stakeholders that are on the phone.
Oh, this is Julie Kaichik. Sorry, in reading through this learning continuity plan, I was overwhelmed with the amount of thought and compliance, whatever, that went into this and how thorough it is. And I can't imagine there's anything else in this world that we could do. So I commend you.
Thank you so much, and to my team that's on the phone. We have Dragon Deep Gill and Ralph Aguilar on the phone, and it was no easy feat, so thank you to them. Are there any other board members that would like to provide feedback on the learning continuity plan?
This is Jackie Giacomazzi. I'm going to say the same thing that Julie said about how intricate this had to be, and I know it took hours and hours and hours of work to make it all work, and I have about 8 grandkids that are doing this in the public school and private school, and it starts to line up with like what they're doing. So I think you did a good job.
Thank you. And if that's the end of the feedback, that would
my presentation for the public hearing.
Hello?
Okay. Thank you, Chuck.
Yes, I can. I'm there. I was trying to get back on the line here. And I just wanted to, again, say ditto to you, Shelley, for the work that you and your staff have done. Now I'd like to open the meeting to the public for any comment they might have.
Hi, this is Vanessa Mendoza reporting that no public comments have been submitted.
Very good. Thank you, Vanessa. Let's move on then to a vote to open the to close the public hearing. And the creator to take the vote, then we'll have a vote. A motion to vote on it.
I so move to close the public hearing.
Art Rennie seconds.
The creator, roll call vote.
Okay. Chuck Sanagata?
Aye.
Julie Kaichin?
Aye.
Jackie Giacomonti?
Aye.
Arthur Rennie?
Aye.
Do we need a vote now on the actual learning continuity plan?
No.
Okay, then we're going to go ahead and close the public meeting, so I would ask for a vote to close the public hearing.
We just did that.
Yep. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
we're through. Now with school reports and information. The area superintendent update.
Mr. President?
Yes.
I just wanted to make note that the public hearing is now closed at 1:29.
Okay, that's what I need the date. Your show time. Very good. Okay, now we go on to the next item, school reports and information. The area superintendent update from Shelly Haynes. Shelly?
You're going to get a lot from me today.
I know you are. We are. And I wanted to say I've read all this stuff, and you guys did an unbelievable job. I really am impressed.
Thank you. Okay, so you might hear some things. And again, if we can just remind everybody to put your phone on mute. If you have any questions, feel free to unmute and ask me. Let's see, you may hear some of the same things, several of the items you'll hear multiple times today in different plans and reports. So in my last report to the board, our previous board meeting, I addressed Governor Newsom's phase-in approach for businesses and schools and our plan to phase into face-to-face instruction. Well, since that update, Governor Newsom has ordered all schools in the state on the state's watch list to only resume, or in our case, to continue digital learning. Since our county's on the watch list and we don't anticipate it coming off anytime soon, and that was confirmed by a public health department meeting I was on this morning, that they don't anticipate that we'll be off the watch list in our area anytime remotely soon. So, Anne, in order to provide some continuity for our staff and our students, we've decided to continue remote learning for the remainder of this semester. Our staff and students need longer-term stability rather than week-to-week change of program. The feedback on that decision has been very favorable from our staff. Our plan is to continue to keep our doors open 5 days a week so that students and staff have access to much-needed support. Staff members need access to our school site to gain access to curriculum, access to student records, printing needs for compliance, and supplemental student work and technology support. Both support for staff and staff supporting students. Students and parents have continued to access the school site to enroll, access paper curriculum options if they need them. Continued opportunities for food access we still provide food every day. Counseling, special education support, or assessment and technology support is needed. Our staff rotates being on site 1 day per week, and they exercise precautions to mitigate risks at all times while on campus. So our staff is working in cohorts, so the Monday group of people will only come on campus Monday and only work with that team and mix for easier contact tracing in the case that we would need it. The precautions include wearing masks, staying behind.
behind acrylic barriers, sanitizing their work areas often, social distancing, and washing hands. All staff members that have a temperature or are not feeling well are asked to continue to work remotely. Since implementing the rotating staff schedule, our credits are starting to rise again and students are continuing to re-engage back into school. I anticipate with a predictable schedule for students and staff and curriculum and technology support, we'll continue to see our students getting back on track as we move through the school year, and I'll continue to keep you updated on their progress. I have two highlights I'd like to share about CV South. This is the time in traditional districts when they come back from summer vacation, and this is also typically the time that we would see a spike in enrollment. Currently, the enrollment at CV South is 1,020 students, with 22 that have enrolled within just the last week. So you can see that it's going up pretty quickly. As an additional, let me flip my page here. As an additional highlight, I reached out to Goggin Deep Gill and Ralph Aguilar for some positive information they'd like to share so we don't just talk about the coronavirus. And they shared that for CV South 2 this year, we had 143 students come to our program for summer intersession seeking support. So that's a pretty incredible turnout, considering most schools were either remote or not in session due to coronavirus. So to have 143 kids come for summer is really impressive. Let's see. That was my CV South highlight. I'd be happy to take any questions if you have them.
So you said 1,022, is that what you said, enrollment-wise?
Let me flip back there. 1,020 with 22 enrollments just in the last week.
How does that compare to last year?
Oh, I don't have last year's number in front of me, but I could look that up and get that back to you.
Yeah, I'm just curious if it's, about the same or what's happened.
I'm sure we could actually, I know we have Gil and Ralph on the phone, we could probably get that number for the same time period last year.
That would be interesting considering what we've gone through.
Sure thing. And then I did forget the Madera update. I actually had a typo on my notes. Our Madera Unified School District counselors are currently reaching out to our CV South 2 counselors to place seniors in our program so that we can get them back on track. Madera has one of the best counselor collaboration partnerships between the local high school and our school. It's really impressive and something to be modeled and replicated throughout other schools, and also they have a 90% grad rate for this year, and that is also really impressive, especially during this year. So, excellent job, Ralph and Gil.
Shelley, I just want to be clear: we're planning to resume in-person instruction. It sounds like a little bit is being done now. Is that right?
So we do still have the requirement to provide special ed services and services to, like, our English language learners. And so some of those services are very hard to coordinate and to implement online. For example, if we had a speech and language therapist come in, that's really hard to do online. They really need to do that face-to-face. And we have been allowed to do those specialized services for Did I lose you?
No.
Okay, gotcha. So we have very, very limited services available. We're still, as a rule, operating remotely.
Okay. And, of course, we have no idea when that would change.
Well, no, for our region, we have committed. So for us, it won't change until January 22nd, I believe, the last day of our semester. And our staff and students were having a really hard time adjusting to, this week we're on. Well, this week is 2 days or 1 day. So we just made the commitment for the semester so that our staff and students could settle and really get good at what we're doing instead of, you know, leaving everybody in limbo. So we will stay remote until January at the earliest.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other comments or questions for Shelley? Hearing none, we'll move on to the finance update by Jerry Vincent. Jerry?
Thank you, Board President Sanagata. There are many things that have changed since our last meeting regarding finance, but I'm glad to say that they are woven into the unaudited actual presentation to be done by Shelley and Gita under action items. So, if the board pleases, I will refrain from giving the update because it is a part of the unaudited actual presentation as well.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry. Any questions at all, Jerry? Hearing none, we'll move on to the next item, which is the 2020-2021 board meeting dates and times, and they're on page 72. Please refer to that to set up your schedule for this coming year. Okay, next we're going to go on to the action items, and I'm going to ask the Krina to please read the item, and then we'll call for a vote. I may ask questions, then a call for a vote. Okay, the Krina?
Item A, the board will be asked to approve the COVID-19 plan for resuming in-person instruction for the 2020-2021 school year and addendum to the school's health and safety plan. Shelley?
Thanks, Sakrina. So we will be asking you to approve the addendum to the school's health and safety plan, and then I'll share with you a summary of highlights of that addendum that would be included in that safety plan. The highlights include implementing healthy hygiene practices, which would include hand washing, physical distancing, and then the clear acrylic barriers, as we've talked about previously. It would be all staff and students, or actually anybody on campus, would be wearing a face mask or covering, cleaning and disinfecting, and changing out our ventilation. We've changed out our HVAC system filters to increase maximum airflow into the centers. We're scheduling students by appointment to reduce the occupancy in the building. We're providing training for staff, students, and parents. In fact, our staff are required to complete a training on COVID-19 prevention and precautions. We have screening and internal contact tracing in our Milo system so that a student, staff, or administrator can report, and we can accurately contact trace. And we have procedures in place to know when we need to close our center. As an example, if we had a staff or a student come into our center and then tested positive, let's say the next day, we would need to close that center so that we could bring in a company that does our cleaning. They do a deep sanitization, and then we can open up once that's been done. So we, and then we also continue to promote distance learning for medically fragile students and staff. We just continue to ask them to work remote and not come in on their day if they are not feeling well or have a fever. And I'd be happy to take any questions.
Hearing none, I request a motion for approval.
Julie, can I just help you?
What was that? I heard Julie Kikos, but what was that about? Are you making a motion to approve?
I made a motion to approve.
Jackie
Johnson seconds the motion.
Okay. Krina, roll call vote, please.
Charles Sanagata?
Aye.
Julie Kikos?
Aye.
Jacqueline Giacomonti?
Aye.
And Arthur Rennie?
Aye.
The vote to approve the COVID-19 plan has been unanimously approved by the board. Now let's go on to the next item, D. Macrina?
The board will be asked to approve the audited actual for the 2019-2020 school year. Shelley Haynes?
Thanks, Macrina. Before I go on to the unaudited actuals, I just wanted to update. Earlier I said the enrollment was for 1,020, and we were asked what it was last year, and it was 828. Mr. Rennie, I think that was you that asked what last year
yes,
was.
Yes, thank you so much. Thank you.
Thanks, Gail. See staff. And now we'll go on to the unaudited actuals. The unaudited actuals reports the last financial report of the year and provides a summary of how the schools performed financially in the year 2019 and to 2020. I'd like to introduce Gita Sharifi to present the school's report.
Gita? Thank you, Shelley. Thank you, Shelley. Thank you, board. So as Shelley mentioned, the financial report. Gita? Yes. This is Julie Kaitis. Could I request in your report that you give us what pages you're on? Yes, sure. So if you refer to pages 91, that's the cover page, through page 103, and then as I explain, I'll provide specific page numbers. So the report, sure. So the report composed of financial sections that include last year's actuals, current year original budget and school reserves, and the last section, which is on page 103, has information about year's actual average daily attendance, or ADA, and current year's ADA projection that was used for the original budget. So I'm going to go through some highlights for fiscal year 2019-20. The school recorded a P2 ADA of 1,118. This funding ADA provided a final year end revenue of $15.2 million. And you can see that on the first section of page 92 of your PDF. The revenue was almost identical to the projected total revenue presented at the board meeting in the month of June. The small difference of $2,000 is due to adjustments to different funding sources, including higher state Fed funds and lower lottery funds and higher local revenue. On the same page, on the midsection of the same page, you can see the expenditures of the school, which ended the year with a total spending of $14 million. This is $170,000 lower than the prior projections. Salaries and benefits were $124,000 higher than prior projections due to an increase in certified and classified instructional support. Purchases decreased by $331,000 due primarily to reduction of purchase of IT equipment compared to prior estimations. Operational expenditures were slightly higher than prior projections due to small increase in instructional services. On the same page, section C, you can see the excess revenue of $1,169,518, which is $177,000 higher than the prior projections. With this excess revenue, the school ended up fiscal year 2019-20 with a reserve of $2.1 million, which equals to 15% of the total annual expenditures. On page...
Get up. Just before we leave that page, I would like you to give us the 2021 current school year budget and the reasons why it's lower.
The budget is just basically what was approved in June of 2020. So if you allow me, at the end of the report, I'll go through some of the changes, because the budget that you see is the budget that the board approved back in June. And since June, there has been so many changes, which improved actually the
month of November. So
thank
the budget
you so
that
much.
You're seeing, sure, and the budget you're seeing on this report will significantly change. So the excess revenue is $1.169 million. And then if you refer to page 94, the unaudited actuals also report a balance sheet, which reflects assets and liabilities for the school. This year, there are a couple of items that the balance sheet do not normally show on the school report. So the first one is an unusually large amount of $3 million that you see if you refer to item E3 on page 94. It's accounts receivable for $3 million. This is due to deferrals of June's apportionment that was to be paid in July. At this point, the deferred apportionment has been fully paid. The second item is on page 95. If you refer to item I6G, that's the amount of $1.2 million, which equals to the PPP loan that the board previously approved and the school received in the month of May. Because the loan is not payable for another 2 years, it falls under long-term portion of the liabilities on the balance sheet. If the school receives approval for forgiveness for partial or the full amount of the loan, the forgiven amount will be reflected on the financials in fiscal year 2021, and it will be properly reported for future financial reports. The fiscal year 1920 school year actuals were consistent with prior projections presented, again, as I mentioned, back in June. So here I'm going to go over some of the finance updates and what's happening in fiscal year 2021. So the projected financials for our 2021, as you see on the report, has had continuous changes that impacted it. At the state level, and which impacted the budget as far as revenues as well as cash flow. So I'm just going to go over some of the highlights of the changes that you will see on the revised budget coming up in November for you to approve. And the ADA holds harmless with the trailer bill. This basically stated that the funding ADA for this fiscal year for 2021 must adopt the P2 ADA from prior fiscal year 2019-20 as the base for funding. So it doesn't allow for growth. It also restored a reduction to LCSF base grant amount, which set the COLA at 0% instead of negative 10% proration factor after statutory COLA. So on the budget that you see on this report that was approved, there was a negative 10% LCFF reduction, which was restored later on. There was an impact on cash, although when the budget was originally presented to the board, the cash deferrals were in the state budget for 3 months of deferrals, and the revised budget will have a 5 months of deferrals. So that's anticipated, and that will start in the month of February. In the new budget, revised budget, which you will see later on in November, it also adjusts the education base rate. It actually increased from $530 per ADA to $625 per ADA. It also adds a learning loss mitigation fund. This is a new one-time funding that impacted fiscal year 2021. This was to close the learning gap for the school, and it was one-time. And the funding actually can go retroactively and be applied to expenses retroactively back to March 1st, and it needs to be spent fully spent by December 30th. So the area superintendent decided to it would be best to the interest of the school to put this funding in the fiscal year 2021. So those were some of the highlights that will impact the original budget that was previously approved in the month of June. And to address these continuous changes and cash deferrals, the school superintendent and the finance team are monitoring the areas of cash flow, school funding, and instructional spending very closely to make sure that the school adapts to these changes and remains fiscally sound. Also, the school is monitoring changes to school funding and will include all these changes and any upcoming changes that might impact the revised budget. And we'll be presenting it to you once that is complete through the interim report in November. So that concludes my report, and I'll be happy to answer any questions, if any.
Well, first of all, it's a living document. That's perfect. What you're telling us.
Yes. Well, the budget is for now until the interim budget is revised budget is presented.
Yes. Okay. Let's now go to the next item.
So we need a motion.
Oh,
we need a vote.
Oh, that's right. And we're here, a motion to vote. Do I hear a motion to vote?
This is Jackie Giacomazzi. Make a motion to approve the budget.
Art Rennie seconds.
Do I hear a vote, Katrina?
Okay, so I have Jackie Giacomazzi motioned, Art Rennie second. Roll call, Charles DeNagata.
Aye.
Julie Kaiser.
Aye.
Jackie Giacomazzi.
Aye.
Arthur Rennie.
Aye.
Nakrita, please read item C.
The board will be asked to approve the revised Charter School Accounting Manual. Shelly Haynes.
Thanks, Nakrita. The Charter School Manual has been updated to reflect the approval, the bank signer, and gift of public funds processes, and I'd like to ask Gita for her support in providing that information as well.
Sure, Shelly. So the school superintendents and the corporate officers, really, you know, normally this is a fluid document, again, as changes, you know, if there's any changes, will be brought up to the board for approval. So there were a couple of changes. One was due to the remote work. There were some approval processes that need board approval. And then if you refer to page two of the red line, so there's three sections. There's first section, and then there's a second section that talks about facsimile signatures. There was no processes for anything about facsimile signatures in the manual, so that was inserted here, which I'll read. It says facsimile signatures are authorized for checks below $25,000 and for checks in the amount of $25,000 or above. One facsimile signature is authorized and one written wet signature from an authorized signer is required. And then it says refer to the exception during COVID-19 pandemic. So the exception was also inserted on page one. So there were several exceptions that are required and makes it a lot easier for approval process and maintaining internal control. So I'll read those three exceptions. One is that the accounting team supporting the school accepts email approval from an authorized need to request line of credit, drawdowns, while remote work is in place. This would also apply to any other ACH transfers that might take place while staff are telecommuting. This is to ensure compliance by receiving email approval, emails rather than requiring a signature approval in writing. Number two is electronic signatures through trusted and secured sources, such as but not limited an authorized signer, designee on an agreement, and contracts are accepted. Number three, electronic email approvals are accepted by the authorized designee for vendor invoices and purchase orders. And number four, replacing two signature approvals, one facsimile and one original written signature, with two facsimile signatures, however, having one facsimile signature and the second one in combination with designee approval via email. And then there's a third section, which is under gift of public funds. The school anticipates to receive donations, and then also the school serves students under HOPE program, which are pregnant and parenting students, and they need support. So the area superintendent and the school officials wanted to add two sections to this area, asking the board for approval. So we supported them to insert, I'll read both sections. One is that HOPE program students support for personal care, such as diapers, formulas, not exceeding $100 per student. And then the second section added was that the restricted donations to support basic needs for the students can be dispersed based on the school guidelines for items such as food, transportation, school supplies, and such during COVID pandemic, not exceeding $100 in value per student. So that concludes my section, and I'll be happy to answer if you have any questions.
Yes, I again have this with Chuck. The question I have is that on the signers, are they notified that you've had, that you've put your signature on a certain document?
Correct. So all the, before any signature on goes on any document, we request approval via email. Correct.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Just a question on the HOPE program student support for personal care. It says such as diapers, formula. What about personal items, makeup, that kind of thing? How do we know that's not being spent that way?
I can answer that one, Ida.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, go ahead.
I can answer that. At this point, we haven't had to spend money for those particular items because they've actually been donated. So what's coming on pallets is actually the diapers themselves, not cash or anything like that. Diapers, formula, wipes, those kind of things are actually being donated in bulk right now, so we're able to distribute them that way.
But we have the, it looks like we would have the option to just give them $100.
I think the option is there, but that's not how we are not operating it. Like in real life, that's not really how we're doing it. We would actually spend that $100 to buy the actual product to make sure that it doesn't go for something that's not intended.
Thank you. That's what I wanted to know.
Sure.
Any other questions? Hearing none, I've asked for a motion to approve the revised charter school county manual.
Art Rennie moves to approve the revised charter school accounting manual.
Julie Kite, second.
All those in favor? Nikrina?
Okay.
Roll call.
So we have Art Rennie who motioned, Julie Kite, who second. Roll call. Carol Sanagata?
Aye.
Julie Kite?
Aye.
Jackie Giacomazzi?
Aye.
Arthur Rennie.
Aye.
The motion is approved unanimously to approve the revised charter school accounting manual. We'll now go to item D.
The board will be asked to accept the resignation of Dr. Caprice Young as superintendent of the school and remove as an authorized bank account signer. Jerry Vincent.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, board. Dr. Caprice Young has tendered her resignation, and if
the board accepts it, we will remove her as an authorized signer. Thank you.
Do I hear a motion to approve the resignation of Dr. Caprice Young as superintendent of the school and remove her as the authorized bank account signer? Is there a second?
Which one do we have making the motion, Mr. President?
That's Jackie Giacomazzi.
Thank you.
Julie Case is second.
All those in favor of the motion, Katrina, please.
Okay, we have Julie Kaitis who motioned, and Jackie Giacomazzi who motioned, and Julie Kaitis who second. Roll call, Charles Venegata.
Aye.
Julie Kaitis.
Aye.
Jackie Giacomazzi. Jackie Giacomazzi.
Huh. Wonder what happened to Jackie.
I, do you hear me? Okay, we got you. Arthur Rennie.
Aye.
Okay, now I'd like to, the motion has been approved unanimously by the board. Next item is item number 4, the additional corporate officers or board members' observations and comments, and I just want to say right off the bat that I am so impressed with the work of our staff. I just can't believe they've done all this work and figured out all the ways to have to do these things. It's just wonderful, and thank you very much. Any other comments?
This is Jeff Brown, the Chief Executive Officer. Thank you, Mr. President. I would personally like to take this opportunity to congratulate Shelley and Guida to be able to provide these wonderful reports, clear and concise reports during these most difficult situations. So thank you so much, you guys. I really appreciate it.
And I would extend that to Gil and Ralph, who are on the phone, because I certainly don't write these alone. Thanks, Gil and Ralph.
Very good.
I want to thank you. You've all really gone above and beyond meeting the challenge. Thank you.
Okay, hearing no comments, no further comments, I am going to call for a vote to close the meeting. Nikrina, do the roll call. Well, first we want a motion to close.
Julie Kaitis, I so move.
All right, ready, seconds.
Okay, Julie Kaitis, motion. Art Rennie, second. The motion. Roll call. Charles Venegata.
Aye.
Julie Kaitis.
Aye.
Jackie Giacomazzi.
Aye.
Arthur Rennie.
Aye.
The motion to approve the closed meeting is approved by unanimous votes.